Message. We're in a series called Tough Questions, and today's question is, why does God not heal me of my depression? Now, today we're going to be focusing on depression, but really, this is a message about anybody struggling with things. So this sermon will apply to depression, as we're going to be focusing on that, but it also applies to things like health problems. Why doesn't God heal me of that health problem I have? Why doesn't God heal me of that cancer, or of that anxiety that you struggle with, or that disability that you have, or that academic struggle that you're having in school right now, and so on and on? Why doesn't God heal me of these things that I'm having issues with? I mean, if you're here in church, most likely you believe that God has the power to do it. And if so, then why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he heal us? Why does God, who proclaims peace and comfort and joy for those that follow him, allow the same people to then struggle with things like depression or anxiety? I was reading some statistics about depression, and this is, to no one's surprise here, a major struggle around the country. So this is from Healthline.com. According to the 2019 estimate, 280 million people worldwide struggle with depression, so that's 5% of the world's population. The NIMH estimates that 19.4 million adults struggle with it in the United States alone, and that was back in 2019, before COVID. That's 7.8% of the U.S. adult population. And so this is an issue that impacts not just a few people out there. This is an issue that impacts a lot of people around the world and around the country. And it impacts famous people who have seemingly, quote-unquote, everything that the world has to offer, people like who have talked about it, Dwayne Johnson, the muscle man there. He's got struggle. He has depression, struggles with depression. Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Michael Phelps, Kristen Bell, Bruce Springsteen, J.K. Rowling, who has $1 billion there, has struggled with it in the past. And Buzz Aldrin has struggled with it as well. You may say, well, those are people who've not put their faith in Jesus. But Christians struggle with depression as well. In fact, some of the most well-known Christians that we have in history have struggled. C.S. Lewis, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Handel, Sir Isaac Newton, Charles Spurgeon. So these are real faithful people, real devout Christians who have struggled with depression. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he has a friend named, or had a friend named William Cooper. And Cooper was a Christian and a poet and hymn writer. And he and Newton wrote the hymnal called The Only Hymns. And that was the most popular hymnal back in the 19th century. It went through more than 30 different editions over that 100 years. And Cooper, who wrote many of those hymns that were sung all around the European world there, had massive struggles with depression. So much so that he attempted suicide 3 different times during his life. So all this to say that Christians struggle with depression as well. And not just Christians who, quote, lack faith, but some of the strongest Christians that we know here, that we read about, that we see, are ones that have struggled with it in the past. And so this brings us back to the question, why? Why would God let people struggle with this? See, why would God let his followers struggle like that? Why does God allow Christians to struggle? And so to answer that question, we're going to look at a passage that doesn't even mention the word depression in it, but it does mention struggling. And so in this passage, we're going to get an idea about why God lets us go through these types of things, why he doesn't just heal us right away. But before we go into the passage, I just want to mention something about depression that is most likely obvious to most of us. But just to get it out there, that depression has a lot of different causes, and there's a lot of different types of depression. And so I was reading about, there's major depressive disorder. That's one that's so severe that it disrupts the daily routine of someone. And I read that women are more likely to get this type of depression. And interestingly, between the ages of 18 and 25, there's a higher occurrence of it. And then there's persistent depressive disorder. That's more mild, but it goes for a longer period of time. And then there's a million other types. There's bipolar and seasonal and postpartum and psychotic depression and so on and on and on. And it can come from lots of different sources. So it can come from brain chemistry and hormones and genetics, but it can also come from environmental factors like trauma or abuse, like health problems, like addiction or drugs or stress, or even spiritual struggles and spiritual attacks. So again, there are a lot of causes and a lot of different types and a lot of reasons why someone might struggle with depression. I'm coming up here today as a pastor. This will not come as a surprise to you that I'm not a doctor. I know. So I'm not talking about this from a medical side of things. What I want to look at is depression from a spiritual side and just look at one aspect of it from the spiritual side. And so let's go ahead and let's start working our way through our passage this morning. And that'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read verse 7. Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." So we'll stop there. Paul says that he was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, let's be honest here. Could he be any more vague? I mean, Paul, come on, give us some more details here. And so theologians and scholars love to debate over and just discuss over what is Paul talking about in this passage. And so let me give you a couple of those theories, speculation here. So first, it could be an immense inner struggle, like grief or temptation or sorrow, one of those things. It could be people who just continually oppose him. You know, that stress from the people who are just constantly going at him and in his case, actively trying to kill him even. That would be considered stressful, wouldn't it? Physical affliction, like poor eyesight, maybe a malarial fever or severe migraine headaches, or it could just be some kind of demonic harassment because he says it's a messenger of Satan. Now, I will say that most people that I read say that it's a physical affliction. And we know at the end of many of his letters, he mentions that someone else is writing for him. And at one point he says, "See what large letters I write with my own hand," possibly sort of hinting at an eye problem that he had, eyesight problem. But again, this is all just speculation about what he had. The bottom line is that he had some sort of struggle that he severely struggled with that he called a thorn in the flesh and a messenger of Satan. And so I think it's no stretch for us to say that with that in mind, that depression could be called that as well, could be described in that way. Many of us have chronic issues in our life that don't seem to go away, and they are like a thorn in the flesh. We might even call them a messenger of Satan. I read about a guy named Tom, and Tom had been struggling with depression, or had been struggling for over a year with chronic nerve pain. And I read about how when anything even brushed his lower abdomen area there, it felt like it was on fire. And so he went to specialists and tried to get some answers and tried to figure out what was going on that was causing all this pain that he was having, and the doctors could not figure out what was going on. And then to make matters worse, he goes on vacation with his family, and while he's on vacation, he has a breakout of shingles on top of all of that. And he wondered, how could God let all of that happen to him? Now, can we all agree here? He had a thorn in the flesh. And I've no doubt, again, that others have the same thought about other things, whether it's depression or anxiety or struggles with sin or even struggles with a spouse or a parent or a sibling. All these things, these health problems that cause us to wonder as you go through life, God, where are you in this? Why don't you heal me of this? And so we're going to go ahead and see what Paul did when he was going through this difficult time. So the first little blank there is what he did during the difficult time. So let's read verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And that word pleaded there, that's not tricky. Pleaded means to beg. And so he turned to God, and he didn't just say, God, if you get a chance, can you heal me of this? No, he was down on his knees and praying and begging God to heal him. And he says that he did it not once, not twice, but three different times. And most likely that's symbolic for completion, meaning that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for healing over and over again till he was blue in the face. Have any of you done that about things in your life? There's something here, though, that we can learn from him about this. That when we go through difficult times like depression, our first response should be to turn to God for help. Our first response should be to turn to God for help. Let me show you one verse from Philippians chapter 4. This is in verse 6. Paul talks about anxiety here. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. What does he say? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, when you're having that anxiety creep up, when you're struggling, work harder. Try at it. He says, go to God. Go to God and ask him to help you. Yesterday, we had our senior fellowship, and we had this amazing physical therapist come and give a presentation on fall prevention. And let me tell you, I live with this amazing physical therapist, and I learned something there. So this therapist was talking about that most elderly who fall backwards. And when you do that, she said that you need to practice putting your foot back to catch you. But she said, you shouldn't just do it when you're falling. You need to actually practice it ahead of time. And so last night I was sort of working the sermon out with her, and she said, no, Kyle, you're doing it wrong. You don't just go. She came up and she started pushing me. And I was like, wait a second, I didn't know. But that's what you do. She said, you need to get in that situation where it's actually feeling like you're falling so that you get used to putting that foot back. And listen, can we all agree here that we will all at some point go through difficult times in our life? Statistically speaking, most of you will struggle with depression at some point in your life. And so knowing that, shouldn't we practice ahead of time running to our Lord and Savior? Shouldn't we practice ahead of time going to him even when times are good so that when times do go badly for us, then we know, all right, we know exactly what to do. We go to him. Go to him. And so that way, when we're struggling, we can just by instinct go back and turn to him. Now, I didn't have a very good breakfast this morning, so I'm a little bit hungry. I'm going to just take a little break for a moment here. And do you mind going to a website for me so you can order some Chinese food? All right, go ahead and bring it up here. Go to islandpondbc.com. All right, good, good. All right, go to the search bar and type in Chinese food. Now, go ahead and order me some General Tso's chicken. Can you do that for me? No. No, all right. Let's try a different website. Let's go to wikipedia.com. There we go. Type in Chinese food there. I think we'll have more success. Oh, there we go. All right, go ahead and get me some General Tso's chicken from that. It's looking, those are some good-looking pictures, though. No, nothing. All right, fine. I'll just wait to the potluck then. You can put that away. Now, in all seriousness here, what was the main issue when trying to do that? The issue was that our website, islandpondbc.com, is amazing. I know because I made it. It's amazing, but it doesn't do anything with Chinese food. Wikipedia will give you a lot of information, but it won't get food delivered to you. And likewise, I was going to the wrong person for help, but how many times do we do that as well when we're struggling? How many times when we're struggling with something do we go to something or someone that can't help us? And yet instead, we need to go first to our Savior. If you've been around long enough, you know that I am not anti-medication here. So I'm pro-medication, if your doctor says so, by the way, I'll add that. Pro-medication. I'm pro-vacations and taking a break and relaxing. I'm pro-shock therapy if that's what you need, and so on. Pro-counseling, all of that. But listen, if there are human ways for depression to be solved, then I encourage you to pursue those. But at a deeper level, let's think about this. Even if those things solve the struggles that we're having, what will it do? It will basically just bring us back to baseline here, to where we're at. So if we're having struggles with depression, that medicine or that counseling or whatever it may be, it'll bring us back to where we, or where what is considered sort of the baseline level for people. But then we're still normal people living in a depressing world with depressing problems. And by the way, our bodies are depressingly getting older and older. And so if you go through this life, even if you've solved the depression issue or the healthcare issue, the cancer issue, whatever, if you go through this life and you don't have Jesus, then you still have bigger problems than whatever it is you're struggling with. But if you are struggling with depression or anything else, and you have Jesus with you, I'm not saying he's going to cure you of that depression. He may not. But with him with you, then your biggest problem in life is solved. And he will help you and be with you every step of the way. I like this one worship song that starts with these words. It says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And then you came along and put me back together. And every desire now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. And so I want to encourage you, whatever you're struggling with, whatever solution there is from a humanly side of thing, hey, go after those, but put Jesus first in your life. Pursue him, because he is the solution, the ultimate solution in your life. Now, moving on, there's actually a surprise in the next part of the passage here. Paul calls out to God for help, but God doesn't actually answer his prayer in the way that Paul wants him to answer it. And so let's look at why God lets us go through difficult times. We'll see that as we look at why he let Paul go through difficult times. So let me read verse 7 again. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me to keep me from becoming conceited. Skipping to verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insult, hardships, struggles, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul calls out to God for help. And God essentially says, no, I'm not going to help you in this area. Instead, I'm going to let you struggle. And in that struggle, you're going to reach out to me and grow closer to me. So this might not be the only reason God lets someone struggle with things. But this is a very important thing that we must keep in mind, that suffering, such as depression, leads us to rely on ourselves and rely less on ourselves and more on God. Less on ourselves and more on God. In other words, God has in mind eternity, the eternal perspective, when many times we have just our immediate comfort and immediate perspective in mind. So God has the power to fix our problem, but if he did every time we asked him to do it, then the question is, would that benefit us spiritually? Would that help us grow spiritually? And Paul is clearly saying that no, in this situation that he was calling out to God, God said no, that suffering that he was going through would help him lean more into God and grow. And listen, do you know, throughout church history, the same idea is true, that do you know when Christians, generally speaking, develop the strongest faith? It's not in times of quote-unquote blessing or luxury. It's in times of suffering and persecution. Let's think about this another way. How many of you like to work out? All right, I'm going to say I work out. Like is a different, it makes it too complicated there. But when you work out, what are you doing? Are you exercising your muscles by just laying on the couch? No, what you're doing is you're working out those muscles. You're making them work, and that's what makes them stronger. I was reading about Arnold Schwarzenegger's biography. I don't know how I ended up with it. I think it was on sale or something. And I just resonated with that picture because at first glance, I was like, oh, that's me. And then I said, no, that's Arnold. But I was reading his biography, and he said that when he was training for Mr. Olympia or Mr. World or whatever all those different muscle competitions are, he would train for 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day of weightlifting. I can't even do it for 5 minutes a day. But it's that kind of effort that gets those kinds of muscles. We will put steroid issue aside for a moment. But it's that hard work there that develops the muscles. Again, is that the only reason that God's not going to heal us because he wants us to grow spiritually? No, it may not be. There can be a lot of reasons. Like maybe God has a different plan in place that you don't know about. Maybe he is preparing something better for you. Maybe it's just part of being in a fallen world that you are suffering right now. And there's no clear reason that you're going to understand until you get to heaven. Maybe that depression is from a sin that you're involved in or an addiction that you're struggling with that's leading to the depression is sort of like a sign saying, hey, something's wrong in your life. And I could go on and on here, but whatever it is, turn to God first. Will you turn to him and rely on him? Or will you turn to yourself and rely on yourself? And so as we start to wrap up, I want to just give you two things that we can do during times of depression. So what can we do during times of depression? And the first one I already mentioned here, so I'm just going to spend a second on this. The first one is that we need to turn to God, not away from him. So we need to turn to him in prayer. One of the ways that we can turn to him is by every day getting up and reading his word. Not just for information or to check things off, but because we believe that as the inspired word of God, that this is a way that we can grow in intimacy with him is by reading his words. And so we can get in that. We can spend time in prayer. We can talk to him. We can get worship and all these things. So tell him what you're thinking. Turn to him and ask him for help. It's the first thing here. Let's go on to the second. This is the last thing here. remember that our ultimate home is heaven and not earth. And I was thinking about how many times this is the reason why God seems callous at times with our suffering. We're suffering here and we're struggling and we're like, God, don't you care? And God is up above saying, I care, and you just wait what I have in store for you. It will be far better than what you're going through down here. It'll be worth it in the end, God says. But right now, from our perspective, it seems like God's not answering those prayers. So it's not that God doesn't care. It's just that our momentary afflictions here are just a little blip on the eternal perspective of life. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let me read chapter 4, so a few chapters earlier, in verse 16 and 17. Paul says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So Paul basically admits there, he's saying, yes, we're wasting away. We're dying. Even when life seems good, our bodies are aging and getting older and suffering. But in the midst of this wasting away, God is slowly working in our lives and making us more like him. So he's preparing us for eternity. So therefore, we don't have to, as Christians, put our hope in this earth. Instead, as Christians, we can put our hope in what is to come. Back in 2017, the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, and they were not doing well when they were facing the Falcons. At halftime, it was 21-3. Falcons were winning. But if you remember that game, slowly, ever so slowly, the Patriots started coming back in the third quarter a little bit, and then did really well in the fourth quarter, tied it up, and scored first in the overtime, winning the Super Bowl. Now, let's think about this. When we think of that game, do we reflect on halftime saying, oh, those Patriots were losing at halftime? We may remember that, but what do we remember? We remember the end, saying, we won. Yeah, we weren't doing well for a little bit here, but in the end, by the end, we beat them. We won. And listen, church, we may be thinking right now, we are losing. I am losing. I am struggling with this thing. But listen, by the end, if you are in Christ, you will have victory. And so if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then no matter the suffering that you have right now, no matter the depression, no matter the pain, you will still win in the end. Because in Christ, this life is not the end. I want to close with two people that I talked about near the beginning of this message. And the first one is Tom. Tom, as you remember, I had chronic pain and then went on vacation and developed shingles while on vacation. He was wondering, God, where are you when this happened? And I read on in the story, and apparently he went to the doctor, got treatment for shingles, and when he started taking those antibiotics or whatever it was, he then noticed that his pain was going away as well. And so somehow in treating the shingles that he got, the pain started being treated as well, and he got a lot better through that treatment. And sometimes God does that, doesn't he? Sometimes we're suffering, and we reach out to him, and he says, all right, here you go. And we are blessed in that way by him taking away that type of suffering. Others, on the other hand, it doesn't happen that way. I mentioned William Cooper. William Cooper, again, was a devout Christian and a talented hymn writer. I have no idea what he has on his head there. I was looking at that for a while yesterday, trying to figure it out. But he constantly struggled with depression, constantly through his life. And that depression never went away. And so even as he prayed and asked God to help him, he was never healed of that depression in his lifetime. And yet, despite that depression never leaving him, God continued to provide grace for him to make it through one day at a time. And so when Cooper died of a different illness in 1800, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, did his funeral. And when the funeral started, John Newton came up, and he was 74 at the time, and he stood up and he read these words as the funeral passage, and this is from Exodus chapter 3. Let me read this to you. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. Isn't that a weird funeral passage? I've done a number of funerals. I've never picked this passage before. I've Googled funeral passages. This one never came up. So why did Newton read this one? And he said, after he read that passage, he looked up from his Bible, and he said these words, I know of no text in the whole book of God's Word more suited to the case of my dear friend than I have read. He was indeed a bush in flames for 27 years, but he was not consumed. And church, may this be you as well. Maybe that depression will never go away. Maybe that suffering will never go away. Maybe that chronic pain will never go away. But even in the midst of all of that, stick close to God, and he will keep you from burning out. One day, when that happens, he will come back, and he will declare, now I am making all things new. And that's when the real healing starts right there. So church, stick close to God. Stick close to God. Will he heal you? I don't know. But stick close to him and let him help you get through each step of the way. Let's spend a moment now in prayer.